See, before the presidential election, I don't know if you saw that on social media, a lot of modern day prophets began to predict who was going to win the election. And it's interesting because the majority of those prophets, they said that Donald Trump was going to win the election. And you know, and so a lot of they had a lot of followers, and so it makes you wonder how those followers are feeling today, because obviously he did not win. And so, you know, people that they come on television and they say, you know, the Lord told me I have this prophecy for America, and obviously whatever they predicted did not come to pass. Now, the Bible will label people like that as false prophets, because one of the marks that you can tell whether a prophet is from God or not is if whatever that person says that the Lord told them come to pass. If it happens, you know for certain that God sent that particular prophet or prophetess. But if it doesn't happen, the Bible calls them, not me, the Bible labels them false teachers, false prophets. You know, there was this religious nuts that I call him, and he was on television around March saying that, you know, prophesying against the coronavirus. He was sending coronavirus to hell based on his authority and power as a prophet of God. And then we're still in 2021, and the virus still around. So it boggles my mind that there's still so many people following them, and they don't see how inconsistent some of these prophets are. And you know, their credibility is down the floor. You know, like they're placing their hopes and dreams, you know, I mean, they're prophesying things that they wanted to hear. Like, who's going to win the election? That's my candidate who's going to win it. Yes. And, you know, now we want to hear that the coronavirus is going to be gone. And they say yes. And see, he's still here. Based on the name of God. So I was wrestling with that question, because so many people that you and I know, they always come to you and say, the Lord told me, or the Lord showed me, or he spoke to me. Now the question that I want to wrestle with this morning, and I hope you and I can wrestle together, is this one. How do we know that was God who talked to them? How do we know it was God and not Satan? You know, like I said, all those people's dreams and hopes now shatter because whatever those prophets told them did not come to pass. I mean, how would you know that when somebody says to you, how would you know that will be the truth? Whatever they're saying that will happen. How would you know that it's God talking through them or Satan? Because, you know, you and I need to understand something. Yes, God always talks to us. He talks to you, but so does the devil. Satan also talks to us. God talks to us. And so we don't know. How do we know it's God and not Satan? You know, I'm reminded of that text, in the one that Angela read, Matthew 16, 21 and 23. You know, when Jesus began to inform the disciples, this is towards the end of his ministry already. You know, they've been hanging out for about 3 years. And you know, he finally told them, this is what's going to happen. You know, when you watch a movie, Jesus already gave him the end of the story. Well, you know, in some of the movies, we went away. We don't want spoiler alert. We want to see the conclusion. Jesus came to the disciples and said, hey gang, this is what's going to happen when I go to Jerusalem. In Matthew 16, he discloses for the disciples truly the plan, why he came. Matthew 16, 21 through 23. Matthew 16, 21 through 23. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And check this out. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. From that time on, Jesus began to reveal to his disciples what will happen to him in Jerusalem. He said he's going to be suffering at the hands of the chief priests and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. Suffering was included on Jesus' agenda, on his plan, and rejection and death. But notice that he also mentioned that on the third day, he'll be back, he'll resurrect. Apparently, the disciples only heard suffering and death. They did not hear the part of the resurrection. Because, you see, Peter, you know, took him aside and began to rebuke him. It's not all the time you hear that somebody just get Jesus and say, let me tell you something. This is what's going to happen. Rebuking Jesus? I mean, Peter had the audacity to do that? Because why? I mean, it makes you wonder, why did Peter do that? Peter's really acting on behalf of the other disciples, because if you know anything about the disciples, they had a different expectations. They had different expectations for Jesus. And now what Jesus just said does not match their expectation. Suffering, death in Jerusalem? Hold on, Jesus. Let me talk to you for a minute. Come here. He began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This should never happen to you. Never, Lord, Peter said. See, you and I need to understand something about Peter. By the way, that's really from his heart. Peter grabbing Jesus to the side to rebuke him came totally from his heart. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Peter's like, this is what I'm feeling right now, Lord. And he says, no, that's not the plan. That's not what we want for you, Lord. You know, truly from his heart, from his expectations that he had about Jesus. Peter truly, legitimately, is trying to help Jesus to refocus. It's almost like, Jesus, you're not thinking clearly right now. Let me just help you out. So just from the heart, legitimately, Peter tried to help Jesus. But I don't know about you, but look at Jesus' response to Peter. Peter, verse 23, Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." You notice that Jesus called Peter Satan. I mean, Jesus just called one of his best buddies Satan. And not just that, he also called him, "You are a hindrance to me. You are a stumbling block. You are setting a trap for me. You just want me to fall, Peter." Why did Jesus call his best buddy? I mean, you know, Peter was one of those in the inner circle that Jesus had, Peter, James, and John. I mean, Jesus did so many things that Matthew and Bartholomew did not get to see, but Peter, James, and John always saw. I mean, when Jesus resurrected people, Peter, James, and John were there, and Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured when his face changed like the radiance of the sun. I mean, Peter was around. He was part of the inner circle, and now Jesus calls him Satan? Why? Jesus, that's kind of rude, don't you think? Jesus, that's kind of offensive. Why did Jesus call Peter Satan? Look at the next line. He says, You are a hindrance to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Jesus called him Satan because Peter's agenda was not God's agenda. Peter at that moment was not focusing on God's plan. He was focusing on his own agenda, his own expectations. What do I mean by that? What do you think was God's agenda for Jesus? The cross. Peter did not want that to happen. None of the apostles wanted Jesus to die. Remember when they saw him crucified, where were they? They all scattered because that did not fit into their comprehension, into their mind and expectations that they have for the Messiah. And now Jesus said that he's going to die? No. So, but that was God's agenda for Jesus. God's agenda, God's mission for Jesus included the cross. Not for Peter. That's why Jesus at that moment recognized Satan even through the voice of his friend. And at that moment, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan, because right now you're not thinking God's thoughts. You're thinking your own thoughts. Right now, you're not putting on God's agenda. You are thinking about your own preferences and your own agenda." God's agenda was for Jesus to go to the cross. It was for Jesus to die. But Satan did not want that. Satan always tried to stop Jesus from doing that. He tried it before, at the temptation, Matthew chapter 4. He said, Jesus, that you don't have to do this. Maybe let me detour or calibrate, recalculate your trip. You don't have to do this. And now through Peter, Satan used Peter to attempt to stop Jesus from going to the cross. That's why Jesus recognized Satan's voice right there. Get behind me, Satan, because right now you're not thinking the things of God, because the things of God is for me to do to accomplish this mission. You're thinking your own thoughts, your own ideas. You see, Jesus recognized the voice of Satan, even through the appeal of his friend. Now, it's interesting because this is the same Peter. You and I relate to Peter when you think about that. Because in the same chapter 16 of Matthew, hopefully you're right there, we're talking about the same Peter who said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember in 23, when you go back, it talks about Jesus, you know, he was going by the region. He asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some people think you're Elijah or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then Jesus asked the question personally. He said, who do you say that I am? Remember, it was Peter, right in chapter 16. He says, you are the Messiah. Verse 16, Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said right here, Simon Peter, this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood. This has not been revealed to you by human nature. This has been revealed to you by God. Isn't that interesting? In the same text, God talked through Peter, but so did Satan. Do you catch that? I mean, this is the Peter, the greatest confession ever written in the Bible. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus applauded him. Well done, Peter, because this has been revealed to you by my Father, by God himself. And I said that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. That same Peter, now, a few verses later, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You notice that? The same man, used by God, 1 minute, the next minute, Satan used him to try to stop Jesus. I always wondered, Jesus thought, I don't know that I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom after this, Peter. But, you know, the same man, the same Peter. It almost seems like a contradiction. I mean, 1 minute you're being used by God powerfully, the next, Satan is talking through you. And Satan using you trying to stop the plan of God. It's the same Peter. If you keep on reading the story in some of the gospel, when Jesus gets arrested, Peter took a sword in defense of Jesus. And he even cut off somebody's ear. Remember Peter's like, I mean, he was willing to die for Jesus. I mean, how are you going to come up with a sword against a whole bunch of Roman soldiers? Peter was nuts. He was crazy. He was defending Jesus. He was willing to die for Jesus. But fast forward later on, they will ask him, are you one of them? And he denied Jesus. I mean, how is that possible? One moment you're fighting for God, and the next moment you are an ally of Satan. They asked him three times, and three times he swore that he never known Jesus, Saint Peter. It's almost like a walking contradiction. A human, you know, and you know, you and I should not be surprised about that, because, you know, it wasn't just Peter. When you think about Elijah, the prophet Elijah. I mean, if I were to rate all the prophets, I would have Elijah as number one. And then maybe Jeremiah, Isaiah, you know, that would be my you know, categories of all the prophets. Because Elijah, I mean, he did not even die. You know, God took him right there. Amazing. This man, Yahweh, the Lord, did amazing things. And I love it because at one time, Elijah challenged all the false prophets of Baal. And, you know, and he said, look, let's see. We're going to call on God. And the God who answers with fire, let him be God. And Elijah prayed for fire to come from heaven, and it did. I mean, whatever Elijah prayed for happened. You know, and at one time he overran a chariot and rain that was coming. Like, God just gave him like super speed. Elijah was amazing. You know, so God used Elijah. Oh, and then he killed 500 prophets, false prophets of Baal. And God used him to do amazing miracles. And then there was a woman named Jezebel. She threatens his life. And what did Elijah do? He panicked. He became fearful, ran for his life, went to a cave, and became suicidal. Like almost seems like a contradiction. Like, hold on a moment. You're just calling fire from heaven, and the Lord hear you, and now this woman says that she's going to kill you, and you're panicking, and you're like, you even want God to take your life? He became suicidal. Elijah can relate to Peter. Elijah and Peter can relate to us. I mean, we can be like that too. One moment, God is using us in a powerful way, and the next moment, we let Satan use us as his allies. You may be used by God to do amazing things, and later you could become an instrument of Satan to stop God's kingdom or God's plan. You see, when Jesus was recognized Satan's voice through Peter, he knew exactly who's the one talking. And you and I can learn how to distinguish if it's from God or if it is from Satan. How do you know who's talking? How can you tell your agenda and actions are from God and not from Satan? How can you tell, like, whatever you're planning is from God and not from Satan? But the Bible, I mean, thank God that he gave us a manual that we can look up and find out what it is. You see, Jesus was able to recognize Satan through the voice of his friend Peter. How did he do that? I mean, that's what he said, "Get behind me, Satan," because whatever Peter said did not match God's agenda. So how do you and I know? Let me give you some ideas so that you can understand. How do you recognize when it's God talking and not Satan? If whatever someone suggests to you, whatever someone is suggesting to you, violates God's word, then it's Satan talking. Whatever somebody's saying to you, you know in the word that that's totally a contradiction against what the word of God says. You know it's not from God. That's what Jesus was able to. God sent me here to die, go to the cross. My friend now says, don't do it. Sorry, get behind me, Satan. Whatever somebody suggests to you violates God's written word, then you know it's Satan, because he doesn't want you to obey his word. He doesn't want you to abide by God's commands. Now, another way for you to know when your actions or your feelings go against God's mission, it is Satan talking. Peter's actions and feelings were going against God's plan right now. That's why Jesus had to say, hey, get behind me, Satan. Mm-mm. I came here to do the will of God, and now you don't want me to do it? I will not listen to you at this moment. We're friends, but sorry, I'm going to go with God. You remember when in the book of Acts, the apostles were telling them to stop talking about Jesus, to stop preaching about Jesus. You remember what Peter, the same Peter, and the response they gave? We must obey God rather than men. He finally got the lesson. We must obey God rather than men. So when whatever your feelings, whatever your actions will go against God's missions, God's word, it is Satan talking. When your plan or action does not help God's kingdom, but rather creates a hindrance, then you know it's from Satan. So when whatever we're trying to do is to further out his kingdom, but no, you want to keep everything, you know, blocked. You want to block God's advancement. You know it's not from God. You know it's from Satan. When how you feel doesn't match how God sees you, that's Satan talking. What do I mean by that? You know how many times you get up in the morning and you feel worthless? You feel like, well, you know, I just, you know, like I don't have it in me, you know. And then you, all the negativity that comes, that, you know, who's talking to you at that moment? Satan. When how you feel does not match how God sees you, God says you are special in my eyes. I sent my son to die for you, and now you feel worthless? Satan's talking to you. Maybe you get up in the morning, you don't feel as pretty as you wanted to be, or handsome, you know. And who's the one talking to you? Because God said, I created you and I love you the way you are. And I'm here to continue changing you and shaping you into the man and woman that I want you to become. But when you feel so, like, without energy, you feel so depressed sometimes, like Elijah, who's the one talking at that moment? Satan, because God will not depress you. God will always bring peace. When you don't feel peace of mind and things, even when you have prayed, who do you think is talking? Satan. Because all about God is love and, you know, self-control. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit right there. So like I said, when you do not feel, when how you feel does not match how God sees you, then it's not God, it's Satan talking to you. When your actions, this is another one that happens a lot in churches, when your actions create division in the church rather than unity, who's talking? Satan. Well, whatever you want to accomplish is going to divide the church. Whatever it is that you want to do does not create building the body of Christ up. It's not God talking. Satan. Because what is Satan's plan? Destroy the church of God. Destroy your life. You know, destroy marriages. Destroy, I mean, that, he wants to destroy your life so that you don't, so that you stop following Jesus. And when you get those thoughts, just ideas that, you know, that's how you realize, man, this is not from God. First of all, because God would not say something to me like that. You know, God would not send me to violate his own word, like go steal that. Oh, that, you know, cheat on your taxes. Satan talking. I mean, how are we going to know whether it is God or Satan? Jessica mentioned something when we were practicing the worship today. This idea of discernment. How would you discern whether it was God or Satan? It is through his word that you will be able to discern the voice of God and the voice of Satan. Both. It's through God's word that you're going to be able to know it is truly from God. Or no, that's not from him. The word of God will help us calibrate our hearing and also our vision. So we can know for sure who's the one talking to us at that moment. You know, like when I heard those prophets on television saying it, I'm thinking like, why is so many Christians are listening to those guys? Because God says, I know his word says that he's the one that places king and he takes kings away. So it was God's will that whoever's at the White House today, by the way, whether you like it or not, it was his will that that man was there. How do I know that? Because that's what it says in his word. And so instead of me listening to a prophet that's going to tell me something that I like, I'm just going to go with the word. So I know that God's will is whoever is sitting there, he placed them there for whatever reason, to bless this nation or to curse it. You might not know what it is until things continue to develop. But if God is truly in control, you and I need to know this, everything that happens, never, he's not surprised by that. He didn't go like, whoa, I didn't see that one coming. Everything that happens, he ordered, he allowed it. And so my job as a Christian is like, you know what, I'm going to hang on to the Lord because for whatever, I don't know how things are going to unfold in America. I'm going to hang on to him and I'm going to continue doing his will. Yes, things might not go the way we want as Christians. But that's why he says, continue, be firm. Continue to persevere in your walk. And you're going to see a lot of things. God's kingdom being advanced. And, you know, Satan tried to oppose it. So it is going to be through his word that we're going to be able to discern the voice of God. You know, he already talked to us through this book. And, you know, and you might have dreams and all the visions. And people might come to you and say, like, oh, the Lord... How you know it was the Lord? Like now you have a filter. This can act as a filter. Let me just pass that. Whatever you told me, let me pass it through here to see if it goes through. So okay. But now what you're telling me is contradicting this. Sorry, get behind me, Satan. Because this is going to be, you know, the filter, the worldview, the spiritual guidance that we're going to need to discern the voice of God. The more that we know this, the more that we recognize it is the Lord talking to me. Like Elijah, when he was in a cave, there were like three incidents. And on the third one, he said, like, that's God. And then he stepped out. And the Lord said, what are you doing here, Elijah? But it was a gentle whisper. There was a fire. There was an earthquake. And Elijah was like, that's not the Lord. You know, a lot of noise out there. And then finally, like, oh, now the Lord's there. And he was able to recognize the voice of God. And then he stepped out of the cave. You and I will be able to do the same. There's going to be so many voices around you telling you this or that. And then you're going to be like, well, is it you, Lord? Like, and then you'll be able to discern either it's God or it's going to be Satan. Because they both talk and they both going to talk to you and me. Just like they did to Peter. God's constantly talking to you, but so is Satan. And I included this... that picture, because you know you and I are in the middle. It's that picture. I mean, it's so true because You're in the middle. God is saying something. Satan is saying something. And you find yourself like, the question will be, who are you going to listen to? Who's going to win that battle? Because maybe this morning you got up and you know the one who was whispering things to you? Satan. You're not pretty enough. Oh man, you're just like, you sin too much. Oh man, you're like, and it's like, and then God's saying, yes, they're sinful, but I pay for them. They're mine. They're a special child. And then you're like, yeah, but I'm... And then who's going to win the battle? The one you pay attention to the most. Sometimes you pay attention, you're listening too much to Satan and the negativity and all the things, that, you know, and you wonder why you get depressed and things, because he's just filling that up. And then God's saying, no, listen to me. And then you find yourself here doing this every time. You know how I know that? Because as humans, the moment you get up and you have a conscience, every day you have thoughts that might be from God and you have the ones from the enemies. I mean, it's like it happens to all of us. You know, it's like, even, I mean, you can be quiet at home and all of a sudden like, why did that thought pop in my head? I mean, and you have a choice to make. It's like, okay, who am I going to listen to? Sometimes you just have to say like, Jesus, get behind me, Satan. We're friends, but I'm going to go with God on this one. And sometimes they might switch. They might, you know, you got God on this side, you know. But they both are going to talk to you. They both are going to talk to me. The ideal thing will be that we listen to the voice of God more than we listen to the voice of Satan. Because they both talk and they will continue to talk to us as long as we live. The question for you and I, the challenge for you and I is, who are you going to listen to? And not just that, but who are you listening to right now? Who are you listening to right now? My hope and prayer is that we're listening to the voice of God. Prophets, false prophets, the Bible said they're going to continue to come and predict things. And you know, the Bible said they were going to deceive a lot of people because people go with what they're saying instead of just going and checking it out in the Word of God. How do you know it's God and not Satan? They both will talk to you. But notice, you have to make the decision who you're going to listen to. My prayer is that you listen to the voice of truth, to the voice of God. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I give you all